Good afternoon, Tim. It's good to see you.
Good afternoon. Yes, we normally do this in the morning, or we pretend it's morning, but it is definitely afternoon now. So, well, sorry we're late.
Well, it's after our church AGM yesterday, which we spent a good amount of time preparing for, and I think we just felt it was easiest if we delayed recording our podcast by a few hours. And so, of course, it will be coming to you slightly later than we'd hoped. But if you're listening to us on Thursday morning, then good morning. Yes. And we jolly well hope the sun is shining beautifully through your windows as you listen to us, maybe at breakfast time.
But and if you're running, then keep going.
Yes, keep running.
Keep going.
We can give you some more motivation if you want. Maybe sprint for the next 15 seconds from now. Go. Is it working? I have no idea.
I do admire people who are out running most days. I see a number of people when I'm walking around, and I just admire every single one of them to keep going and do what they've started to do.
Do you feel the same as me? How you all of a sudden feel like you're walking really slowly as well when a runner goes past you? I kind of become really self-conscious of how slowly I'm walking. I look at my legs and I'm like, am I actually moving forwards anymore?
So yes, yeah.
It can be off-putting.
All power to those running. Well done, and keep going. It is doing you good.
hopefully. Wonderful. Well, as we said, we had a great church AGM yesterday, so thank you to everyone who joined us for that. If you weren't able to join us, we'll be sending out the minutes as soon as possible to you, which will have the rundown of everything that was discussed. And we welcomed some new deacons, didn't we?
We did, which is lovely, really, isn't it? And our deacons have been waiting since March to be voted in when we had to postpone the AGM. And we did it last night on Zoom, which was a bit of a challenge, but I think we managed fairly well. And yeah, welcome to our new deacons, and we're looking forward to them getting stuck in to helping us lead the church and give new fresh vision and energy to us as well. So welcome Julie and Bob and Sally to the deacons team, and we're glad to have you around. Thank you.
It's wonderful. And of course, we can't talk about what has happened already without thinking about what happened on Sunday. So we started our Advent series, and it was wonderful. We had our first little thing appear on the bookshelves. We had a little light-up Christmas tree, and who knows what is going to appear on the shelves this week.
I think we got some jokes, didn't we, Tom? Do you think we ought to share one of these jokes, or is it too early yet?
It's far too early. I don't really want to think too much about Christmas. It feels a bit strange in that I find myself becoming very Christmassy on a Sunday at the minute. Because we've got, obviously, the stuff in the morning with church. And I think for whatever reason, it feels very festive. And then it's almost like snapping out of it with everything else that's going on in the world. And I'm sure as we go into Christmas, we are going to love sharing with you some of Bob, one of our new deacons, Bob's Christmas Crackers. He has written a lot of jokes. I'm sure not all of them are his, but I can already tell that some of them are from him because they are quite localised, and it's wonderful. And so Bob,
we need a jingle, Tom.
Bob's Christmas Crackers. I mean, there you go.
We need a snap. No, that's maybe a cracker snap.
Okay, all right, fine.
So come on,
we'll get on it. We'll make a jingle.
Somebody get a jingle,
or someone else can make us a jingle if you feel creative.
Yes,
someone
great,
else makes it. Fine. If not, then we've got that one that I've just made. There we go. Bob's Christmas.
But we
crackers.
need a snap of a cracker at the end of the jingle, I think.
Okay, so there we go. That's something to look forward to throughout all of December. We're not going to do any before then, okay? Even though Bob was trying at the weekend to get in some of his jokes, and there were some good ones, and of course, former MP for Stafford, Jeremy Lefroy, posted in with his version of the Christmas cracker joke as well. So, yeah, no.
Excellent.
I'm not name-dropping on purpose there. It just came out, didn't it? But it's been great. And obviously, as we get closer to Christmas, it's going to feel more and more festive. And I think we're going to... the sermon series title is perfect because it is going to be a very different kind of Christmas. Do you want to give people a quick insight to what this Sunday's got in store for them?
Yeah, so last Sunday we started off by looking at the characters of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, and looking at this idea of from loss, where they were obviously feeling the loss of not having kids, etc., but carrying on and doing what God wanted them to do, and God blessed them, as we know, and used them to to have John come into our world. And this week we're going to be looking at Joseph and the father of Jesus, the dad. So, yeah, have a read of Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to dig into that a little bit on Sunday. And we're looking at turning fear to freedom, really, and how often there's a lot of fear around this particular story from the characters. But actually what God wants to bring into each of their lives is the sense of freedom. And freedom is doing what God wants them to do. And yeah, Matthew's fascinating in his account because the beginning of Matthew, which is very rarely read, is the genealogy of Jesus. So have a look in at Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17 as a sort of precursor to the story of Joseph. And you'll see some amazing names there. And it's a great story. So yeah, please dig in. If you missed last Sunday, do go back and catch up with it. And this is a great time to invite other people to join in as well. Maybe people that you know, maybe they were once part of a church and now they're not. Maybe others who are friends or family, and just send them the link and say, hey, why don't you join in with our series coming up to Christmas this year and make it a very different kind of Christmas for you as well. So yeah, excited to go through this series and see what God has to say to each of us through his word.
I butted in before. I'm really sorry as well. What was there something else you wanted to add?
Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, it was just about Christmas trees, really, because some of our neighbours have already got their Christmas trees up.
Oh, wow.
And on the estate we live, there's a particular design of house where it has a very big landing window.
Yes.
And it's brilliant, and it's got a big landing. And we did go and see one of those properties, and we said at the time, ideal for a Christmas tree to be put in this landing window. So it's the front of the house. Mm. And lo and behold, on that particular style of house on our estate, people are putting their Christmas trees up, which is fantastic. And we were thinking today whether we'd have a different kind of Christmas, and we were going to put our Christmas tree up now with the lights on, and then each week we'd add some decoration to the tree. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't decorate it all at once this year. We'd do it gradually. So I don't know whether we'll do that or not, but at least we need to check if the lights are working or not.
Which does remind me, we need some more lights for the Christmas tree at church, given most of them died in the horrible winds we had last year. Oh. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to talk about the weather. I wasn't going to talk about the weather. But
anyway.
I'm very much a traditionalist. I'm afraid to say that our Christmas tree will not be going up before December. And actually, always it was 2 weeks before Christmas was the earliest. But I think I've said, given how different this year is going to be, I think we've both accepted, me and Becca, that start of December is a good time to do it. And we
and just remind people of the challenge you put out on Sunday, Tom, about sending in their tat.
Well, someone pointed out to me that tat's not really a fair word. We would love to see some alternative Christmas decorations, things that you want to get rid of from your house, basically. Forget it. I'm going to call it tat because it is Christmas tat. have you got an inflatable Frosty the Snowman? Have you got some weird thing that you have no idea what it is, but it's got a snowflake on it, so therefore it's Christmassy? Have you got some tinsel that's rag-eared? We will happily take them off your hands because the shelves in Tim's office are, well, they're not very Christmassy, are they? And we've got to make it more and more Christmassy as the week goes on, because otherwise, me and Tim just aren't going to feel Christmassy in the slightest. We're used to the church being beautifully decorated, and when we went in every morning, the church was just, you couldn't help but feel Christmassy. You couldn't help but feel filled with joy. And of course, we're still going to decorate the church, but it's just going to end up happening a little bit later than we otherwise would have wanted to do it. And of course, we'd normally be planning for our big outdoor carol service, which seems unlikely to happen this year. It's the best thing we can say. Yeah. It's unlikely, but we can hope and pray. Anyway.
But whilst Christmas is all happening.
Yes.
Other stuff's happening as well, isn't it, Tom?
Oh.
And
what a segue.
It was great to hear that the youth guys met on Zoom again on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because you're not able to meet in person. I know you did do, but now obviously we've had to stop that. Mm. So you had a session on Zoom with the young people, and it would be fantastic for us to hear about some of the things you got up to and some of the things that happened on that particular evening. So Well, let us know. Yeah.
Apart from all of the games we played, which involved this week, a game called Spyfall, which I'm sure some of you will have heard of. It's a fantastic game of intrigue that is easy to play on Zoom. And also, we did an escape room, but obviously it's quite difficult to do an escape room in your own house. So it was a bit of a strange thing. But what the escape room was leading into was this idea of how at the minute there is this real sense that we just want to escape our current position. And some people are absolutely thriving right now, but many other people are finding it really difficult and they're feeling isolated and they're feeling imprisoned. And that led on to us having a really great discussion about Joseph. Not the Joseph that we're going to hear about on Sunday, but a Joseph that came many years earlier. And it's one of... It probably is my favourite story in the whole Bible, because it's the most incredible story of intrigue, of deception, of miracles, of just it's just incredible. And so what we were talking about was the story of Joseph in terms of how the story of Joseph has totally tracked with our experience up till this point of COVID-19. And the way that we phrased it was that at the start of this year, we were like Joseph. When we started 2020, we came out of Christmas. We had a really great start to the year, both in school and church life and as a youth group. We were doing so much stuff. And actually, we were remembering back to the fact that 2 weeks before the lockdown was imposed on us, 1 week before the last youth group that we had the most amazing evening celebrating one of our young people moving away to go away to college. And so we had a big party for them and it was just wonderful. We had a celebration, much like when Joseph received his coat from his wonderful father, Jacob. But little did we know that 2 weeks later we would be thrown into lockdown, into isolation. And in Joseph's story, Joseph is obviously, his brothers don't like him at all for the treatment that he gets and the way that Joseph interprets dreams. And so ultimately they throw him into a pit and leave him there to die. But then they have this thought, actually, there's some people coming past here. We're going to sell him. We're going to make some money. And Joseph was sold into slavery. And that first lockdown that we went into, it was all a very quick thing. It happened very quickly. We went from being absolutely fine, having a lovely time. I can remember going skiing and it was amazing, to then not being able to leave the house anymore. To literally being told, you are stuck in your home, unless, of course, you have an essential thing you need to be doing or getting on with. But it was a case of actually, for a very large number of people, stay at home. That's what you have to do. It was almost like being imprisoned in our own home. And then as we got through to summer, things got better. In Joseph's story, he found favour with Potiphar, and he worked his way through to this position of actually thriving. Even though he was still somewhat under restrictions, he was still not able to kind of leave and go back to his own family, he did find this position of power. And there was an ugly moment. And if you know Joseph's story, you'll know that Potiphar's wife, well, she let herself down, is the best thing of saying, without casting judgment on it. And ultimately, Joseph landed up in prison. And a couple of weeks ago, when we were told as a country that we had to do the same thing we did on the 24th of March, 23rd of March, I lose track of the day now, whatever day in March, when we were first told we had to stay at home, it happened again. And for Joseph, he was able to kind of have that brief bit of time of things being great, and then he was beaten back down and actually imprisoned this time. And that's where we are right now. We are imprisoned and we are stuck. And for the people in our youth group, they were saying that actually this is really hard and this is really confusing right now. Because on the one hand, they're being told to go to school, to mingle with people. They're spending half their time online because they're years in isolation. But also they are having to still keep doing all of these things. But they're not allowed to go and see their friends outside of school. They're certainly not allowed to socialise with people. Lunchtimes look very different. They have to sit quietly rather than talk. And it's just this bizarre thing where the set of rules that are being placed are confusing. And it does really feel like they are totally imprisoned. And for Joseph in this story, he is thrown into prison. And prison, I can't say I've ever been behind bars. I don't know, Tim, if you, what have you seen? Have you seen what prisons are like?
Yeah, I've visited people in prison. Yeah, as part of my ministry, and I've been to lead church services inside a prison as well. So yeah, I've had a little bit of experience in Dartmoor and in strange ways in Manchester. So, and yeah, they are pretty tough places to be, and very sad places. So yeah, I'm sure that Joseph would have really experienced a lot of challenges there, particularly because he felt he was there unjustly, wasn't he? And you know, I'm sure that there would have been many, many different emotional challenges for him, similar as you've been alluding to some of the challenges that all of us have faced in different ways, haven't we, with this current lockdown as well. That feeling particularly of being forgotten, I guess, almost, which did happen to Joseph, didn't he? He felt he was forgotten. And even though he'd been promised that his case would be brought up again before Pharaoh, it wasn't, and he was let down. So, yeah, those feelings are very real and very applicable to the situation that our young people feel, and also many of us are feeling as well at this time. So, yeah, really good analogy, really good.
But as I preached on this a couple of years ago, there's one line which goes through this story. And it is the most important words for us as Christians to remember, much as it was for Joseph, much as it is for our young people right now. And it says this in verse 20 of Genesis chapter 39. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. So this is maximum security. This is the lowest of the low. This is where the king puts people that he wants to rot.
And while, the deepest place as well.
The deepest place. The
right
deepest
down,
place.
Yeah.
Continuing verse 20, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favour in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. And so, what we were talking about, we were saying that we're not out of prison yet. Ultimately, we know Joseph does get out of prison, and his story is incredible. But what did Joseph do whilst he was in prison? Did he mope away? Did he sit in silence? Did he just put his head down, do his time, and hope that one day the king would find favour in him and allow him to leave? Or did Joseph take a different approach? And this was what we were saying, that Joseph, instead of being imprisoned, he saw this as a possibility to serve God. And he did two things whilst he was in prison. He was productive and he was connective. And so our challenge, and part of what, again, we talked about with the young people, was this idea that we all need to have purpose in life and feel like we're doing something useful. And one of the things that can help us to find that purpose and fulfillment is to be productive. And over this time, we kind of thought about some of the things that can be done. And there was a great suggestion made that actually when you're really struggling, if you're feeling really low, then one of the things to do is do something you want to do. Do something fun for 20, 30 minutes. And then after you've done that, you will feel more productive. And so Joseph, he's in this really deep, dark place, but he didn't put his head down. He kept going. He was still doing things. And then this second word that we used, so be productive, but also be connective. Be with people. Another one of our most basic human needs is to connect with other humans. And this time, this season that we're going through, has really put those connections under strain, under pressure. And what Joseph does, he makes friends with people. Even when he's locked away, he's supposed to probably be in an amount of isolation, he's still able to communicate with people and he's still able to connect with them. And there's this beautiful story, and we probably haven't got time to go through it all now, in Genesis 40, where Joseph interprets two dreams, one of a cupbearer and one of a baker. these are two people that he otherwise doesn't really have any reason to talk with. But Joseph begins to say, look, hi, I'm Joe. I think this is what God's wanting to say to you. And unfortunately for Joseph, not everything he does as a connective guy comes good at the end of his time in lockdown. As we see in the story, it was about 2 years later, 2 years after he made this connection, that the cupbearer, who left prison straight after Joseph interpreted his dream, the cupbearer remembered that Joseph was still down there, even though Joseph has told the cupbearer perfectly what was going to happen. And so there's going to be some bits of our story right now as we try and connect with people that it's going to be difficult. I know that I've personally got back in touch with some people that actually I'd lost contact with. And I had me and Becca had the most amazing day on the beach with a guy and his wife in the summer months, who actually I hadn't really spoken to much for the past year. And that came out of us reconnecting with one another. And it was wonderful. It was so good. But not all of these connections we make right now are always going to come good post-lockdown, because some people need us right now and they may forget about us. But Joseph doesn't take that to heart. Joseph just does it because he knows it's a good thing to do, to speak to people, to reach out to that person that you might not have spoken to for a while. And Joseph's story just goes on to be this wonderful story of how someone has been locked away twice and still comes out of the other side totally thriving. And throughout all of this, Joseph didn't ask the question, God, what are you doing this for to me? God, why is this happening? Instead, Joseph flips that question around and says, God, you've put me here for a reason. Please show to me what it is you want me to be doing here. And we see throughout Joseph's whole story that God put him in specific places at specific times to do things for specific people. The whole story leads to Egypt and Israel being able to have enough food to last through a famine. Joseph's brothers, Joseph's family are saved as a result of Joseph being in his position of power at the end. And throughout this time, it's a great question for us to be asking to God. Not, God, why have you done this to us? God, why is this happening in the world? The question instead, as we've said for the last 3 weeks of us podcasting in lockdown, the question that we need to ask, much as Joseph did, is, God, what are you calling me to do right now? Let's bring God into our situation. Let's trust him. Let's love him. Let's be kind to one another. And let's try and represent what Jesus wants us to be doing in the middle of our chaotic world right now.
And there's that great phrase, isn't there, right at the very end of the story in Genesis, where Joseph says, you know, what man intended for harm, God has used for good. Mm. And it's only in as he looks back over that, as you said, I think that's a really great insight, that he wasn't, asking the big questions at the time. And it was at the end when he realised, you know, that God had this big plan. He believed it all the time, but at the end he realised, you know, that this was God's plan all along. And interestingly, just to loop back to Matthew chapter 1, of course, the genealogy talks about Jacob, who was obviously Joseph's dad. And through that line, from Abraham to Jacob, and Jacob, Matthew says Judah comes out of that. Obviously, Joseph was part of that family as well. Judah and his brothers. Out of that comes the fulfillment of God's purposes. So an amazing connected story that Joseph played his part in. And as a result of him playing his part at that particular time, then we do arrive back at Christmas, which is beautiful, isn't it? What a beautiful story.
And if you'd asked me what 15 minutes ago now, do you want to talk about what the kids have been doing? The outcome would have been the same, in that we'd be saying that these things all lead up to Christmas. And that's what we've been doing. Maybe another week we'll share about what our kids have been looking at. They had the most remarkable time looking at Psalm 23 this weekend with them. But you can find all that online, can't you? You can go on YouTube and watch the kids' things. The youth group is a bit more of a closed-off thing. Invite only, you see. You know, exclusive, as some might say. But we wanted to share a bit about it because it was a really... it was a really fantastic time. And on the Sunday morning, we kind of shared with you that that was what was happening, but we asked for prayer. And I really do feel that some people in our church must have been praying, because it really was such an amazing time for us to look at this. And some of the stuff that the young people came out with, it's mind-blowing. Like, so creative, so brilliant. And we're blessed. We're so blessed as a church by them.
It's a beautiful thing, Tom. And, you know, as someone who grew up in the church and went through kids' work and youth work, you know, always so grateful for the people who were there patiently teaching me, trusting me, believing in me, you know, all those sorts of things. And, yeah, just look back with a lot of thankfulness to God for those who stood in the gap, who served God faithfully. And I'm grateful that I can still be standing in the gap for others as well. So thanks, Tom. Thanks for everything you're doing. And shout out to the young people. I don't know whether they listen to this podcast. Probably not. In fact, by now they would have been bored and switched off anyway. So, but if you are listening, young people, bless you guys, and thank you for being part of the church. And we're cheering you on, and continue to pray for you as you seek God's heart and God's vision for your lives as well. Wow. That's just a small part of what's going on, Tom. And we're planning for even more during Advent. Keep your eyes open on the update emails. Keep listening on Sundays. We'll keep you in touch with all that's going to be happening. But we're very excited that even though this is going to be a very different kind of Christmas, it's going to give us amazing opportunities to connect with many different people. And so I pray that you'll use those opportunities to share this amazing story as well. So I think we better pray, Tom. And let's send these good folk who've been listening on their way with a blessing and a prayer, just wrapping all that up today. But thanks for listening today, and continue to keep in touch. If there's anything we can do, or if you have got that Christmas tat, or if you want to compete with Bob Johnson for Christmas cracker jokes, then we could start a little competition as well, perhaps, and see whose is the best, but maybe not.
Maybe you can win some of the Christmas tat and we can give it away after Christmas.
Give it away after Christmas. Perfect. Let's pray. Let's pray God's blessing on one another. Yeah, Father, we just want to thank you for just the incredible story that you have written from the beginning of time right till now. Thank you for all these people who you called into that story, and those who stood up and were counted for you, many in difficult circumstances, people like Joseph in isolation for such a long period of time. Yet he's able to come out of that place to just honour you and to acknowledge you and to know that you've involved him in the plan, that your purposes are going to be worked out. And we thank you that that leads us into this Christmas story. Again, as we look back into the Old Testament story, we see just how connected it all is. So I pray that you'll give us insight and wisdom as we engage in this story. But you'll also give us amazing opportunities during this time of lockdown and isolation to be confident that you are using us, you're using everything we all do to bring honour to your name, to be connected, to be productive, and to bring you honour. So thank you, Father. Pray for our young people. Thank you so much for them, particularly as they continue their schooling in such different ways, that you'll bless them and you'll use them powerfully. And your blessing on Tom as well, as he continues to find even more creative ways to connect our young people to your story. Thank you, Father. Just go with us, I pray, as we continue to chase after you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of the day, week, month.
Keep running.
Yeah.
Keep running.
Maybe it's time for another 15-second sprint or so. On three. One, two, three. Go for it. Sprint, sprint as fast as you can. And in this remaining 10 seconds of your sprint, we're going to say goodbye. Have a wonderful time. And until we see you again at the weekend, God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.